Begin. This week's parsha is Parshas Bashalach, which begins on the Stone Chumash on page 366, 367. So what I'd like to do today I'm going to ask three or four questions on three different parts of the parsha, one from the beginning, one from the middle, one from the end, and we'll try to answer them all in one with one thread. So we'll start with the first pasuk. The first pasuk in the parsha is Vayihi b'shalach tareis ha'am. It happened when Paro sent out the people. That God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines because it was near. For God said, perhaps the people will reconsider when they see a war and they will return to Egypt. So I would just like to zero in on the second word in this parasha, the word that the name of the parsha is called by Parshas Bashalach, by he Bashalach. Bashalach. Bashalach means when he sent. Bashalach Paro, when Paro sent the nation. So some of the commentaries are bothered a bit by this. The Pasuk is talking about what happened when Hashem took the Jewish people out of Egypt, that he didn't lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. So who is the one who took the people out of Egypt? Who was responsible for the people leaving Egypt? So it was Hashem who was responsible, right? So why are we giving the credit, so to speak? Oh, I'm going to put everyone on mute. I'm sorry now, and you'll have to unmute yourself if you want to ask any questions. But why is the pasuk attributing this? Leaving this momentous event, the Jewish people leaving Egypt. Why is it attributing it to Paro? Paro sent out of the people. Paro has very little to do with this. It was Hashem that it's true that Paro was eventually persuaded to allow them to leave. But why is the Torah making an issue out of Paro here? B'shalach Paro es ha'am. It should say, but like it says right afterwards, it talks about Hashem leading them. So it should say, when Hashem took them out of Egypt, he didn't take them, the Derech Plishtim. Why the focus on Paro? That's question number one. I'll just mention already now the beginning of an answer that's given. So the commentaries say that it would seem from here that even that the Torah is emphasizing that at this point, when the Jewish people left, there was still some influence of Paro that was felt in the nation. In other words, they weren't totally free from their association with Paro. That's what the Torah is emphasizing here, that at the moment that they left Egypt, Paro was somehow still involved in the lives of the nations, of the nation. The influence of Paro wasn't totally gone. It was still felt at this point. And that's why the Torah talks about B'shalach Paro as a'am, that Paro was sending out the nation. But that's the general idea that some of the commentaries give. But that itself requires explanation. In what sense do we say that Paro's influence was still here? That the Torah calls it B'shalach Paro. What is the idea that's being communicated here that Paro's influence was still felt at this point? That all goes into question number one. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit. Obviously, as in every Pasha, there's a lot here in this Pasha. So we know that this was leading into the splitting of the sea. And we turn to page 374, we have the events of the splitting of the sea and the drowning of the Egyptians culminate in the song at the sea, which begins on to the bottom of 374, chapter 15. It says, Tazvav, Oz Yashir Moshe B'nai Yisrael, Tazshir Azois LaHashem. Then Moshe and the children of Israel chose to sing this song to Hashem. By Yom Rulamer, and they said the following. And the song starts, Ashiru Hashem, Ki Go'oi Go'o. I shall sing to Hashem, for he is exalted above the arrogant. Because he is exalted above the arrogant. Sus Beroch V'Roma V'Yom. Having hurled horse with its rider into the sea. So, two questions we can ask on this pasuk. One question I think we asked in previous years, but I'll ask it again tonight because hopefully we'll have some new insight, that the very first word of this song is Ashira, I shall sing. I shall sing to Hashem. So the question is, if somebody wants to start to sing a song, so let them just sing. Why do they have to have a statement of intent? Ashira Hashem, I will sing. And it seems like this is not just a statement of intent, but it's actually part of the song. This is the song that they sang. And the first word of the song is, I shall sing. What do you mean I shall sing? You're singing. That is the song. Why is the song begin with the word Ashira, I shall sing? That's another question. And then on this pasuk itself, we can also ask, this question actually just occurred to me as I was reading it, but I think we'll have an answer for it when we get to our answer soon, Bez Hashem, that I shall sing to Hashem, and how does the song describe what we're singing about? Ki go'o go'o. For he is exalted above the arrogant. Who is the arrogant? Seemingly the arrogant here is Egypt, or Paro, that Hashem is exalted above the arrogant. But why is just this exalted above the arrogant? Why is this the very first thing they're singing about? And why is Egypt described as arrogant and Hashem is exalted above the arrogant? What is the meaning of this particular phrase, and why is it considered so important to describe Hashem in this way, Ki ga'o ga'o, exalted above the arrogant, as the beginning of the song? That's another, 1 second. Excuse me. Yeah. Okay. So, that's the next question. Okay. So now I want to move to the end of the parasha. All the way at the end of the parasha, we have the section of the war with Amalek. So on page 3, it starts on page 390, and it says, Vayavu Amalek, on the bottom, 390, 391, Patsuk Ches, Vayavu Amalek came by Yelachim in Yisrael b'Refidim, and battled Israel in Refidim. Vayomer Moshe el Yehoshua, and Moshe said to Yehoshua, V'char lanu anoshim, choose people for us. Moshe said to Yeshua, choose people for us, but say Elohim Amalek, and go do battle with Amalek. Machar tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Moshe is telling Yeshua to choose people, and the way he expresses it is, V'char lonu anoshim. Choose people for us. So Rashi here says something very interesting. Rashi says, Moshe says, choose people for us. Leave Elohim. Rashi says, choose, Moshe says to Yeshua, for who are these people for? They're for me and for you. B'char lanu. Leave lecha for me and for you, for us. He shvehu lo. He made Yehoshua equal to him. Lanu, for us, as if me and you, Moshe and Yeshua, we're equal. We're equals, and choose the people for us. And then Rashi says, this is the source for the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, where the Chachamim say, Yehi chavod talmidcha chaviv alecha kesholcha, that the honor of your student should be as important, as beloved to you, as your own honor. That a person, a teacher, should honor his student the same way he honors himself. So Moshe is telling Yehoshua, me and you, we're both the same. And that was his way of showing honor and respect to Yehoshua by equalizing him with himself. That's what Rashi explains. And Rashi goes on and he gives more examples of this, where he fleshes that and adds some more. But the question is, this is obviously a beautiful concept, but why just here in the war with Amalek do we find this concept front and center, the idea of treating the student with honor? What is that? There could be all sorts of different contexts of that. The Torah can teach us this lesson. Why is this lesson being taught to us specifically in the context of the war with Amalek, the lesson of giving proper honor to one student? So that's the question on the end of the passage. So again, we have three or four, well, a number of questions. The first question is, Vayhi b'shalach Paro, why is the Torah describing the leaving of the Jewish people in terms of Paro sending them out, giving some kind of, which seems to indicate that Paro's influence was there in the leaving of the Jewish people from Egypt? What's that idea? Question number two is, Ashir el Hashem, I will sing to Hashem. That's how the song starts. Why is it starting with a declaration that I'm going to sing? And why keep Ga'ol Ga'ah? Why? Because he's exalted over the arrogant. Why is Mitzrayim in this context called arrogant? And why is the fact that Hashem is exalted over specifically the arrogant Egyptians? Why is that the way the song begins? And then finally, when the war with Amalek, B'charlanu Anoshim, choose people for us, Moshe treating Yehoshua as an equal, what is that idea? I mean, not what is that idea, but why is that idea is to honor one student as an equal, but why is that being mentioned specifically in the context of the war with the Moloch? Those are the questions we're going to try to get to in the time that we have tonight, Be'ez Hashem. So I think as an introduction to try to start answering these questions, I want to review some of the words of the Ramban. There's a very well-known section of the commentary of the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, at the end of last week's Parsha, where he talks about why the Torah emphasizes Yetzias Mitzrayim so much, why it emphasizes the Exodus from Egypt, why that's over and over emphasizing the Torah. We have mitzvahs that remind us of it. Why is it so important? So the Ramban there writes the following idea. He says that all the way from close to the beginning of history, from the time that people started worshiping idols, so people started coming up with certain very wrong ideas about Hashem and his relationship with the world. And he said there were various schools of thought, all of them wrong and bad, but he mentions a number of schools of thought. He says there's one school of thought saying that the world always existed, that Hashem didn't create the world altogether. And some say that's number one. Some, others say that he created the world, but he doesn't know what's going on in the world, Chas v'Shalom. And then the third one is that Hashem, they agreed that Hashem created the world. They understood that Hashem knew what was going on in the world, but they said that Hashem has no interest He doesn't pay attention to what's going on in the world. Ozav Hashem es ha'aretz. That was the third wrong, bad philosophy that existed. And says the Ramban that when Hashem performed the miracles of taking the Jews out of Egypt in order to perform and through these tremendous miracles, Hashem was demonstrating the wrongness, the fallacy, the error, the terrible, grave error of all of these philosophies. And so I think the most obvious one maybe is just the miraculous event shows that Hashem was the in charge, was the creator, and that Hashem was in total control of the creation. He knows what's going on in the world. He's paying, and specifically also that Hashem cares what's going on in the world because he chose the Jewish nation to take them out because he wanted something specific. He wants something specific out of his world, this world, and he's paying very close attention to what's going on in this world, and therefore he's taking the Jewish people out because they have a mission. They have a mission to fulfill in Hashem's plan for the world. That's what the Ramban writes. So there's a fascinating idea that I think it also mentioned here once in previous years, but it's an extremely important idea that Rabbi Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin, the great Hasidic thinker from the late 19th century, he understands it from a pasuk that we all know. The pasuk right before the song of the song of the sea, the last pasuk, right, it says there, that the Jewish people saw what Hashem did. And that was after they saw the Egyptians were dead on the banks of the sea. And then it says, "Vayiru amas Hashem," that the nation feared Hashem. "Vayaminu b'Hashem," and they believed in Hashem. "Uvemoshe avdo," and in Moshe his servant. They believed in Hashem and in Moshe his servant. So what is this Amunah that it's talking about here? They believed in Hashem and in Moshe, his servant. So I'll tell you in a moment what Rav Tzadik says, but first I want to put it in the context of the Ramban. I think we can possibly understand this pasuk as follows, because really it requires explanation. What does it mean they believed in Hashem? Already in Parshas Shemos it says the Jewish people believed in Hashem. So what was added? What was this new level of belief in Hashem? And here it says they believed in Hashem and in Moshe, his servant. What happened here at this point? What level of amunah in Hashem and Moshe did they attain at this point that they didn't have before? So I think we can possibly say that up until this point, they believed, they saw the great miracles that Hashem did. So they knew that Hashem was the creator of the world. They knew that Hashem was in charge of the world. They knew that Hashem knew what was going on in the world. Those things they knew. And certainly to some extent they saw that Hashem was paying attention to the world. But one thing that they perhaps were missing the highest level of emunah, and that is the emunah that Hashem really, really cares about them, about the Jewish people, and about Hashem wants and is paying close attention, and Hashem really wants to have a relationship with the Jewish people and with every single individual Jew. And we'll soon talk about maybe why they didn't quite have that down pat until this point, but that's what it means when it says Vayaminu b'Hashem. At this point, they believed in Hashem, meaning they had the total amunah in Hashem and over Moshe Avdo. And not just amunah in Hashem, but an amunah in Hashem's relationship with Moshe Avdo, which is the, the Moshe Rabbeinu is the prototype of the servant of Hashem, that Hashem wants to have a relationship with human beings, and specifically with the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the leader, he didn't have his own agenda. Moshe Rabbeinu's agenda was entirely as the leader of the Jewish people. So they believed, they saw Hashem, they believed in Hashem, and they believed that Hashem wanted to have this relationship with the Jewish people. That's what it means when it says, Vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo. And Reb Tzadok HaKohen writes this so beautifully. He says that just as a person has to believe in Hashem, he says, after a person believes in Hashem, a person has to believe in himself. And he says, what does it mean to believe in himself? In this context, it means that Hashem wants me. He says it means that they came to a realization, not only how great Hashem is, not only how powerful Hashem is, not only how good Hashem is, but how important we are in Hashem's plan, because Hashem wants us. And that's the level that they came to at that point. That's what Reb Tzadok says. But now the question, that brings up the question, why, if that's true, I mean, that's certainly true that was part of the emunah that they came to. Oh, but first of all, I just want to say, with this, we can answer one question that we asked already. Ashir al Hashem. Why are they saying, I will sing to Hashem? Why is that part of the song? And the answer is, because it's not just they're stating an attempt to sing. That's what they're singing about. They're singing about the fact that Hashem wants to hear from me. Ashiru Hashem, that I will sing to Hashem, and they came to this realization that's unbelievable. The great Hashem, the creator of the universe, the most high, most awesome, most perfect, most holy, whatever adjectives we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants to hear from little old me. Ashiru Hashem, I'm going to be singing to Hashem, and that makes a difference to him. He's listening to my song. He wants to hear from me. There's nothing greater to sing about than that. But then the question is, why just now? Why just now did they come to this realization? Why did they get it before? So this is the thought occurred to me today that perhaps this is perhaps we can explain the reason as follows. What were these people who have this ideology, this philosophy, I don't know if people like this still around, but people who have this philosophy that Hashem created the world, Hashem knows everything, but Hashem doesn't associate with this world, doesn't care about this world. Where would such a concept come from? Where would such an ideology come from? In some sense, it seems to be irrational. I mean, Hashem created the world, so obviously he cares about the world. Where would that be coming from? Why would they think that Hashem is not associated, doesn't want to associate with this world? And I think the answer is, I think the reason why people would think this way is because they think, how is it possible? Why would such a great exalted God, the one who's the most, he's the infinite perfect God, why would he want to have a relationship with us such lowly human beings? It doesn't, in some level, maybe it doesn't make sense that at least this is what they thought. It doesn't make sense that such a high, lofty being should want to have to do with such lowly beings like we are. And I think that what's kind of paradoxical is that even though maybe it sounds like humility, right? We're so low. Why would Hashem want to have to do with us? But I believe that the real problem with this ideology, the source of this ideology is not understanding Hashem's humility. You know, there's a beautiful section in the Yom Kippur davening where we talk about it's a poem that we say. We talk about how Hashem, his glory, he's glorified by the highest angels, by the most pure and pristine beings in this universe. They're all saying Kaddish, 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 holy, holy, holy to Hashem. He, that the highest levels of creation are praising Hashem all the time, but Hashem, what Hashem really wants, he wants our praise, the praise of human beings, the praise of lowly human beings that have human struggles and have human inclinations and have human problems. And Hashem wants to hear from us. And then it says, "V'hi sihilo secha." And that is the greatest praise of Hashem, that Hashem wants to hear from us. Because what's that great praise of Hashem? It's Hashem's humility. That because he's so high, even though, in some sense, even though, but perhaps even more than that, because he's so high, he wants to hear from the lowest of the low, from us human beings. He wants to have a relationship with us lowly human beings because of his humility. Paro and Mitzrayim, they were the epitome of gaiva, of arrogance. They were the epitome of arrogance. And since they were the epitome of arrogance, their philosophy perhaps was that even if they believed in the creator of the world, and even if they believed the creator of the world knew what was going on in the world, but they couldn't believe that such a high, great, lofty human being, such a high, great, lofty creator, the infinite creator, would want to have something to do with this lowly world. Why couldn't they believe that? Because in order to understand humility, you have to have humility. A person has to be humble themselves. We can only understand, this is a general principle, we can only understand those traits that we have a connection to. So if a person has no kindness in themselves, they won't be able to appreciate another person who's kind. They won't even be able to believe that the other person is kind because they have no way of relating to kindness. So Paro and Mitzrayim, because of their arrogance, they couldn't relate to Hashem's humility. They couldn't imagine that Hashem would lower himself to actually want a relationship with this world. And this was part of the poison that Paro injected into the atmosphere of Mitzrayim and into the Jewish people when the Jewish people were under his dominion. So by Hibishal of Paro Esa'am, it was when Paro was sending out the nation, there was still something of Paro that was affecting or infecting the Jewish people. And what was that? It was this arrogance, it was this gaiva that Paro and Mitzrayim had, that the Jewish people were not yet able to totally free themselves from that. And therefore, until that point, even though they were leaving Egypt, they couldn't quite believe with total emunah, perhaps we can say, they couldn't quite believe with total emunah that Hashem really wanted a relationship with them. And that's why maybe there was a danger they would run back to Mitzrayim, because they would run back to Egypt, because they were insecure. They didn't quite have this real confidence that Hashem really wants. They didn't believe in themselves. Maybe they believed in Hashem, but they didn't believe in themselves, meaning they couldn't believe that Hashem wanted to relate with them. And so that's why only afterwards, only later, when they saw that Paro and the Egyptians were dead on the Tzfas Hayom, on the riverbanks, that's when they finally were able to completely disassociate themselves with the ideology of Paro, with the arrogant ideology of Paro, and they were able to actually see the tremendous humility, the midah, a little bit of the midah of humility of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they got rid of that arrogance of Paro from themselves, and now all of a sudden, the Yaminu Bashem, not only do they believe in Hashem, but of Moshe Avdo, they also believe that Hashem wants to have an association with the world and wants to have association with themselves, and that's why they said at that point, Ashir al Hashem, ki ga'o ga'o, I sing to Hashem, and that, like we said before, they realize that Hashem wants to hear my song, but ki ga'o ga'o, that's why it talks about Hashem is being exalted over the arrogant ones. That they realize that Hashem has now shown that the arrogance of Paro is not the correct ideology, but rather something much higher than the arrogance of Paro, which is the humility of Hashem. Because the what's exalted over the arrogance of Paro is Hashem's humility, which is Ashir Hashem, and that's what they're singing about. They're singing about the fact that Hashem wants to hear their song. Now, at the end of the Pasha, the Jewish people got into trouble there with Amalek. Now, why did Amalek attack. What was it? What was it? Was there was a spiritual defect in the Jewish people that was reflected by the attack of Amalek? What was that? What was that spiritual defect? So the pasuk writes there, right before it says Vayav Amalek, right before it says Amalek came, it says that the Jewish people had a doubt. They were doubting. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu l'moyin. Is Hashem in our midst or not? That's the pasuk at the end on page 390. They said, is Hashem among us or not? Now, what was that question? They wanted to know. Rashi says a mashal to a father that's holding his son on his shoulders, and people, and then this child says to passerby, "Do you know where my father is?" And he's Hashem. So the father says, "What? My son doesn't know where I am. I'm holding him on my shoulders," and therefore this father throws down the son, so the son should realize that his father's been holding him the whole time. So the Jewish people somehow they were doubting whether Hashem was with them. Why were they doubting if Hashem was with them? What was it? Again, it seems like they're going back to the old issue, that they're not sure that Hashem is really with them. Hashem is associating with them. Hashem is relating to them. In a sense, they were referring back to the Egypt ideology. What was going on over there? So it's possible that that there was still something, it seems there was still something missing in this emunah. And what was it that was missing? So if you look carefully at the Pesukim, I have no time now to go back and look at it so carefully together now. But if you look carefully at the Pesukim there, it seems to be an indication that they may have understood that Hashem took them out as a klal, as a unit, the Jewish people as a unit, Hashem took them out of Egypt. But they were concerned about themselves as individuals. It switches in Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3 there. They switch. They say, why did Hashem take us out of Egypt in order to kill me and my son and my children and my cattle in thirst? So perhaps what was really going on then was that they believed that Hashem took them out of Egypt. They believed in Hashem. They believed in Hashem, well, that he wants a relationship with the Jewish people. But at an individual level, some of them were still thinking that Hashem doesn't care about me as an individual. Well, they still were missing this. They weren't able to believe. They're still missing a little bit of the belief in themselves. They believed in the Jewish people as a whole, but they didn't believe in themselves as individuals, that Hashem wants a relationship with them as individuals. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu l'moyin means is Hashem in our midst as individuals. And because of that, Amalek came. So when Moshe Rabbeinu realized this, and he realized that there's a problem here, the problem in the Jewish people have a problem. They have that they may believe that the Jewish people as a whole Hashem wants relationship with. They may believe that the great tzaddikim Hashem has a relationship with, but they don't believe that on people who are not individuals that may not be on the highest level that Hashem wants a relationship with them. And therefore Moshe took that specific time to teach the Jewish people for all time a lesson. And he went to Yahushua. And Yahushua was a tremendous tzaddik, as we know, and he was the leader of the next generation. But during that time, there was a tremendous, tremendous distance between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yahushua. On what level they are. Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of the Jewish people. Hashem later spoke to him and gave the Torah through him. And Yahushua was not nearly on that level. And still Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yeshua, "B'char lanu." He treated Yeshua as an equal, and from here we learn for all time that a teacher has to teach a student and treat his student with the utmost respect as an equal. Why? Because in a sense we are all equal, because we have to understand that whatever level we may be on, Hashem wants us as individuals too. Hashem wants, Hashem doesn't just want Moshe. Hashem equally wants Yahushua. Hashem doesn't just want the Jewish people as a whole. Hashem wants each individual Jew. We're all, there's no limitation to say that the belief that we have in Hashem's interest and desire for a relationship with this world is only goes till here and it doesn't go any further. No, it goes down to every single individual as well. And whether it's the highest individuals or even the individuals on a lower level. And not understanding that is what makes Amalek come. Now, Amalek actually attacks, maybe we'll talk more about Amalek at a different time, but Amalek actually attacks the lowest elements. And Hashem reacts to that and says that, no, I'm gonna stand up for even the lowest elements of the Jew. So this is again, a continuation of the same idea. So basically we have this one idea that flows through the whole parasha. Like, we'll just review it now, and we'll wrap this up. At the beginning, when the Jewish people left Egypt, they still had the influence of Paro there somehow. Paro's arrogance was still infecting the Jewish people, and therefore they still were not quite able to believe in themselves 100% that Hashem really wanted them, because the arrogance of Paro doesn't allow for a person to understand the great humility of Hashem, that he wants a relationship with us in this lowly world. And therefore they were missing someone in that understanding, and that's why maybe they would have wanted to run back to Mitzrayim. But finally, when the Egyptians were killed at the sea, the Jewish people finally rid themselves, for the most part at least, of this connection to Paro's arrogance, and they were able to see that no, Hashem wants a relationship with us also, and that's what they sang about Ashir Hashem. That was their singing that Hashem wants to hear my song. When it came later in the parasha, something happened and they started doubting if Hashem wants to have a relationship with themselves as individuals, the way we're understanding it. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu came and taught the lesson to Yeshua that no, even Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents the entire Jewish people, it treats his student, who's on a much lower level as an individual, Yeshua, treats him as an equal, because Hashem equally wants every generation, every individual, no matter what he may be, Hashem still wants to have that relationship. And Hashem says if Amalek attacks the Jewish people, even the lowly people, Hashem is going to stand up for the Jewish people from generation to generation. And that I think is a thread that can go through the whole parasha. And that's what I wanted to share with you tonight.